Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, so much for coming this evening. It's really good to see standing our room. And we're always pleased when members of the public want to come and talk to us. So I'll start simply with our opening statement, which is that Council acknowledges that we remain on the traditional lands and waters of the Paramount and Gaurang people. They are the custodians of this ancient and beautiful land, and so we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. We will care for this country together by ensuring the decisions we make will be made by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. Thank you. Please go in, Councillor Holman. Thank you. Thank you for waiting. And now we don't have the budgets this evening. We don't have anyone wanting to read about it. We're doing any other online request to read about it. Can we go? So the first thing, we go straight to item four on our agenda, which is the minutes of previous meetings. I'll be looking for one over. Thank you, Mr. Grant, for backing that. In a second, all the person in favour, please. Thank you very much. I've got a little bit more. Thank you, thank you. Now, we've got a couple of items on the we've got a couple of items that may be all conflicts that have been pressed on us now, if anyone of our councillors has a declaration of conflict of interest. All right, I'll start on this end. So going from left to right, Councillor Selwood, can you just give me the item for us?
Yes, item 7.1, so now I'll have a general conflict.
Thank you. Next one is Councillor Cook.
I just have a general conflict of interest with item 8.1.
8.1. And is my next one up?
Yes, thank you, Worship. Material conflict of interest with item 12.3.
Thank you. Thank you. On this one, welcome to Councillor Cheever.
Material conflict of interest, item 12.3.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor. General conflict of interest with 11.1 and a general conflict of interest with 15.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have a general conflict of interest in item 12.1.
Yeah.
12.3.
And, thank you, everyone. Item six on the agenda, there's opening remarks. All I'd like to say this evening, actually, because I mean some of the here who participated, is congratulations to everyone who participated in the South Australia Living Artists month that we had, because we had many, many entries and had a terrific exhibition over at the Northern Summit. And so I just want to congratulate any of you if you were in it, but otherwise, congratulations to the wider community, so it's fantastic to have you by people. So thank you. Well, thank you, friends that you know who also put something up. Now, we have the next item on the agenda is item 7. It's the questions agenda on the table. We do have one, but this has now been withdrawn. So we won't be dealing with that one. We go straight on to our next items. Now we're going on to item 8. Okay, so item 8 is petitions. So we've had a petition come in, and so I'm going to First of all, thank all the residents who made effort to put the name into a petition, particularly to the Lions Brew, because they also provided an extensive amount of contribution to it as well, and sent us a letter I'm looking to thank you for later on. But I wanted to thank you because there was over 1,000 signatures on them, which is pretty impressive for the community to get together and do that. So I'm going to thank you for doing that. And that obviously is with regard to the civic awards and citizenship ceremonies on Australia Day that was brought forward when was started petitioned by Councillor Thurwood. So sorry, I should have asked you. Sorry, Councillor Gill.
It's all right. So in regards to this item, I have a general conflict of interest in Section 74 of the Local Government Act. As a signatory of this petition that has been tabled. While not gaining a benefit or a detriment by signing a petition, though there may be an apprehension of bias, I believe that I am able to maintain an open mind on the matter and have consulted with the community to gain an understanding of the community's thoughts to enable me to make an informed decision. I intend staying in the meeting. I have maintained an open mind throughout the debate. I have not widely published my personal thoughts on social media as per a recent precedent. I merely seek to ensure I am making informed decisions for the community based on what the community wants. As a councillor, I am entitled to consult with my community.
Thank you, Councillor Gill. And please shout out if I miss your item where you've got conflict of interest. Don't worry about annoying me or anything because if I miss it, it's not further than that anymore. So thank you, Councillor Gill. So what I need to do is we need to receive the petition. So I'm looking for someone to move that there is a given and a second. Thank you, Councillor Huxton. You will receive the petition. And second of Councillor Huxton, thank you. So that's received and that's seconded by Councillor Brown. All those in favour of receiving the petition, thank you everyone. I'm good to see that's carried out and carried. What I could just explain is that once a petition is received, it is then up to individual councillors to decide whether or not they wish in due course tonight or later on to take some further action on that petition. Okay? We don't automatically write and give you a decision, but it's up to this paper and the chamber that we've voted in to come back or raise it further if they wish to. So what we will do is we don't have any deputations this evening, but we can go on to public forum at 8.3 on our agenda, and then we'll be able to hear more from you. And what I'm going to ask leave the meeting for is that we've probably got about six people who would like to speak, and they'd like 2 or 3 minutes each. So I'd like to extend our 10 minutes. 20 minutes overall, so that everyone gets a chance of 2 or 3 minutes each. So can I just get a show of hands to say that we support this? All right, that looks like it's unanimous. So thank you. So you should be able to take 2 or 3 minutes. So just remember, don't go over 3, otherwise you'll throw on somebody else in a minute. All right, thank you very much. So you will be able to speak in the forum. Now, I was also going to say, if any councillors do have a motion that they would like to just share with regards to this petition, and normally a motion without notice would come at the end of the evening, but because you're all here, I'm going to ask Lee a bit later on, if somebody does have something, to bring it forward so that you can then all hear that, otherwise you have to wait right until the end of the meeting, which has been very clear, so I thought I would try and bring them forward. But we'll see how we go. And if nobody does want to bring anything forward, but I think they will, but if they don't, then it doesn't stop you speaking to any of your local councillors and raising it again or writing to us or any of our other councillors want to further this can do that themselves, okay? But you can ring or write and let them know that. So I hope that explains the way that we deal with citizens. So now we're going to come to the public forum. And as I say, we've now got about 10 minutes, so that will get us up to 20 minutes. So I'll have nothing to cover on that. And so what we normally do, and this won't come out at the time, is if when you come up, if you could just say your name and what township that you come from so that we can record that. Now, actually, I do need to ask one other thing, and that is, I haven't done this, sorry, is that if anyone's sent a recording tonight, as in like this thing, like on your phone or something, you'd seek the permission of this council to do that. If they don't want to do that, you have to ask. If it's not grounded, you just have to write notes, okay? So is there anyone wanting to do that? Because otherwise, I won't write notes. Okay, that's fine, but it's, you know, perfectly fine for the 10 minutes. Right, thank you, everyone. First up, hands up, who would like to come up? Okay, so should we start with John first, Mr. John Tate, or you want to come up together?
No, you come up.
Okay, so if you could come up to the table in front of you. And so, like either in front of me, you'll see the microphone. So you just press the button on the microphone until the light comes on. Then you need to put a microphone, okay? Then you just switch it up really, yeah, do the both of them. So, okay, so when you want to, that's it, so when you want to speak. So what we'll do is, so it's Mr. Dante from Birdwood, yeah? Okay, so would you like to keep up for when we're starting time now? Thank you.
Thank you. John Tate from Birdwood, I refer to part of the letter from the Lions Club of the Torrens Valley addressed to the Council CEO, Mr. Greg Georgopoulos, stated, following above discussions, it was decided unanimously giving community support for events on Australia Day to write to yourself with a copy to all councillors requesting council reconsider holding breakfasts and civic awards on Australia Day. Now, the following are my words. The Lions Club of the Torrens Valley historically celebrated Australia Day by hosting the very popular breakfast at Federation Park, Gumaraka, which attracted hundreds of participants every year, where Edna and I attended regularly. This year, due to Council's decision to only offer funding and support to community groups that historically host Australia Day events, if they agreed to moving their events to any of the 3 days prior to or after Australia Day. In other words, you only get the money for your Australia Day events if you don't hold it on Australia Day. The Lions Club of Torrens Valley made the difficult decision to move their once vibrant event to Sunday the 28th, the results being that only a handful of people showed up to their event branded as Community Celebrations and Civic Awards on Sunday the 28th of January at Federation Park, hosted by Torrens Valley Lions Club, sponsored by the Adelaide Hills Council. There was no mention of Australia Day. Torrens Valley Lions Club were one of 4 groups consulted in the very limited consultation process undertaken by Council on changes to Australia Day. The other community groups who hosted Australia Day celebrations, namely the Onkapringa Lions Club and the East Torrens Historical Society, were also recognised as stakeholders in this limited consultation. Again, no public community consultation was undertaken. Council has effectively forced the hands of these community groups who host the Australia Day celebrations. They are left with a conundrum. One, do they celebrate Australia Day on the 26th of January, as is their preference, and lose council funding and support? Or two, do they bow to council's agenda and move the date of Australia Day events to a meaningless date in order to get the money? Now, I also speak on the broader community of the Adelaide Hills residents and ratepayers. It is the intention of our community to celebrate Australia Day next year on Sunday, the 28th day of January 25 at Federation Park, Gumaraka is continuance of the long-standing tradition to dedicate and honour one specific day to allow Australians to celebrate our great nation. We appeal to Council to celebrate Australia Day
on the 26th of January and to present civic awards at this event. I'm nearly finished. The community beseech their council to celebrate Australia Day on the 26th of January annually and to continue the long-standing tradition of presenting Adelaide Hills Council Civic Awards and hosting citizen ceremonies on that day. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Taylor. Thank you. Now, Edna Tate as well?
Yes, I am Edna Tate from Birdwood, an English immigrant who emigrated to Australia from England in 1969. I am Edna Tate from Birdwood, an English immigrant who emigrated to Australia from England in 1969. My husband and I arrived with 5 children, and we loved it the moment we landed here. We were billeted in Elder Park, where the Festival Theatre now stands. The 26th day of January was the day that we always celebrated Australia Day, and very proud to do so, as we always were and are very proud to call this great country of Australia our home, our land. And as the Seekers song says, and I quote, "We are one, but we are many, and from all the lands on earth we come. We share a dream, we sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australian." On the 27th day of July 2023, your council voted to move ceremonies away from the 26th day of January. The motion was moved and seconded and supported by 7 other councillors, making a total of 9 supporting councillors. The recorded notes on this stated that the 26th day of January risks a platform of division, racism, mourning of First Nations people, referring to Invasion Day. There are many Aboriginal elders and Aboriginal people who reject your views and actions, which only serve to divide our nation. Well, as a very proud POM, I find that some of the supporting councillors' remarks and lack of support for Australia Day offensive to me, and no doubt to the majority of Aussies in this great country. Millions upon millions of immigrants from a host of nations have helped to build this country to what it is today. Because if we hadn't come and built this great country, you wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be driving around in your flash cars, living in your house, getting the education that you have, and being able to live the life you have. We are extremely grateful to this for the opportunities that it has given us. And my children, through hard work and the opportunities offered to them, have made an incredible life for themselves and their families. Not supporting and attending Australia Day is a slap in the face to us immigrants and totally offensive. And how long do we have to keep saying sorry for coming here and doing all the hard work to make this country what it is today? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And can I just ask you, Mr. Tate, are you willing to take any questions to think that anyone has any?
A very impressive submissions. Thank you very much for that. Are we able to have those statements recorded in the official council's record as in addition to the petition?
I believe we can resolve to that. Sorry, if you want to resolve that the meeting were those, we can do that. We can do that as a motion without notice a bit later. Okay?
Hi. Yes, thank you both of you for coming today. John, there's a bit of confusion regarding the dates. And I think you were intending to say that you're going to celebrate on the 26th, but you said the 28th.
Yeah,
so I'm just not sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
And you are going to hold it on the 26th.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Anyone else? All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for answering the questions. And I'll ask who next would like to come forward, please, to speak. Lady in the corner. Sorry, it's for you, lady. If you'd like to just give your name and township a little bit of time, please.
Yeah. So I'm Marie Tolkien, also from Girdwood.
So you're going to ask your name and spell that, sorry.
Yeah, T-O-H-O-L-K-E.
You're not on, Marie.
Is that correct? I should have called a screen, is that correct?
Yeah, and the Marie is with M-A-R-W-E.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I'll help you. So if you would like to show me the stats.
Thank you. I'll speak fairly quickly just to get through the time, but I know you council members have a delicate job balancing needs and of people in all your council area. I know that you need to hear from all who you represent on the local Adelaide Hills level. I trust that it's your desire to do your best for all the people of Adelaide Hills. I have 3 points that I'd like to make regarding this matter. Firstly, we all have a blended background of some sort. So what makes us Australian? I would suggest that it is our love for this country and the fact that we are either born here or became Australian citizens. Of course, our First Nation Australians are also an important part of the mix, but they're also not a homogenous group with only one viewpoint. First Nations Australians are an important part of our Adelaide Hills community, and their viewpoints should naturally be an important part of the community consultation process, but as should all local Australian citizens' viewpoints. This brings me to my second point. It's very unfortunate that January the 26th has been made by some as Invasion Day. The landing of Captain Cook in Sydney was not on the 26th of January, but on the 29th of April, 1770. The first fleet arrived on the 20th of January, 1788. It is true that Governor Phillip officially claimed the land he was on as a British colony on the 26th of January, 1788. I understand that these events led to massive changes and a loss of country, culture and language for many Indigenous peoples. But this is not what we celebrate on Australia Day. Most Australians, myself included, grieve over the harms that were done to Aboriginal people in our history. In fact, humans have done harm to other humans all over the world and in all eras of history. This is not okay. These things should be taught honestly and learned from. However, on the 26th of January, we celebrate because this is the day in 1949 that the Nationality and Citizenship Act of 1948 was enacted. This is when we all became Australian citizens and were able to travel with Australian passports. All people living in Australia, including Aborigines, were no longer regarded as British subjects. We became free to decide for ourselves which wars we would fight and how our citizens would be treated. Aborigines or First Nations people were protected by Australian law for the first time. So on January the 26th, we remember all the good achievements that have also dotted our history, and we celebrate the good deeds and achievements of our citizens in modern times. We celebrate the freedoms we have. This celebration can be used to focus on what unites us and the good things we see being done in our communities, which brings me to my third point. The Adelaide Hills community should have been consulted before any decision to change the celebration that affects us all was made. Here in the Adelaide Hills, the council should still hold wider public consultations on this issue. I understand you've been concerned about this becoming a platform for racism, but this does depend a lot on how council advertises and manages this process. With correct education and diplomacy, the work of each individual and cultural group in Adelaide Hills can be maintained while emphasising the worth, freedom and respect that each Australian can and should enjoy in our society and under our laws. We should celebrate our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, our freedom to have our say. if council does not now consult with wider community or just pushes through one point of view, this is both divisive and undemocratic. This is not what you were elected to do. Please consult the community, move forward slowly with honesty and integrity, consult with you.
Thank you very much. Are you going to take any questions from the minister? Yeah. Just again, that question incorporated your very good submission that is the council record. I have an objection to that.
Thank you,
ma'am.
Thank you.
So, thank you for what we ask you to do. Those of you who would like them, we will collect them from you so that we have them, or we can get them photocopied for you. And before you go, so if you let us know.
My name is Catherine Nitschke and I'm from Balham. We, an unaffiliated group of local residents and ratepayers, did what some councillors and council staff said could not be done, conducting community consultation on the topic of Australia Day without creating division nor providing a platform for hatred. In fact, we found the opposite to be true. The residents and ratepayers of Adelaide Hills Council relished the chance to learn about an important decision that their elected members, in alliance with council governance staff, had made on their behalf, for the most part without their knowledge. Not only were they happy to sign the petition, but many of them wanted to discuss at length and in detail their many concerns that council are not truly representing them, not really listening to them, nor truly engaging with them. How many of our elected representatives spend time at the local shopping centre or out the front of the post office to meet and listen to the people they represent on a regular basis? When designing the Australia Day petition, we chose to only accept responses from Adelaide Hills Council residents and ratepayers of 18 years and over. We did this to truly reflect the responses of our community. We certainly could have collected many more signatures if we allowed any South Australians 18 years and over to sign, but we decided the integrity of our petition was more important than the quantity of signatures. I note that a similar national petition to Save Australia Day, currently online, has over 30,000 signatures and counting. Community consultation and community engagement are frequently used council buzzwords. Council, I note, has a dedicated team of staff called the Communications Engagement and Events Team, as well as a virtual community engagement hub on their website, a space to, and I quote, a space to join the conversation, share your ideas, for us to let you know how your input has influenced what we do. We also hear and read councillors' public declarations that we put community first. Community consultation and engagement is promoted as an important and valued way that council keeps in touch with those it serves, the ratepayers and residents of Adelaide Hills Council, and uses that input of the community to guide their policy directions and decision making. So the question is this tool of public engagement as it's currently practiced effective? Do the ratepayers and residents of Adelaide Hills Council feel like their input is valued, that their opinions really matter? Do the community believe that council is listening to these repositories of local knowledge and wisdom, who we discovered are very keen to discuss council matters and how council policies and decisions affect their lives on an everyday basis? We found no evidence of apathy or disengagement within the community, other than the frustration felt by many that they don't believe their experiences and opinions matter to council. They don't feel like councillors truly represent the majority of the community. And the withdrawal of council support from Australia Day is a prime example of this. Perhaps,
and you've got 30 seconds for sure.
Perhaps more disturbing is that the majority of the 1,000 plus locals we talked to weren't even aware that council's policy on the celebration of Australia Day on the 26th of January had changed. And they were angered, frustrated, and disappointed by this when they found out through our petition over a year after the decision was made. So in finishing, I would like to just say tongue in cheek, perhaps council would like to hire us to conduct your next community consultation process because I'm sure our rates will be much cheaper than the $50,000 that council staff quoted to run a community consultation on Australia Day.
Right, thank you, Catherine. Are you willing to take a question if anyone has one?
Yes.
Anyone got a question for Catherine? Can we just be sure we spell Catherine correct?
With a C-A-T-H-R-Y-N. Thank you. Oh, I see. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Who would like to next, please, phone? Thank you, Kate. Would you like to introduce yourself and your question?
Kate Bennett, Mount Torrens. I'm stating what I read. Just working in retail, I can go to hundreds of Adelaide Hills Council workers every week. Because of this, I was well placed in obtaining signatures for this petition. This was quite an easy task, as the majority of ratepayers are appalled by Council's attack on Australia Day and our traditions. Your gutless reasoning for no public consultations implying we're all racist and not capable of having this discussion is pathetic. Is being reviewed held by me. I hope councillors took the time to review the list of Adelaide Hills Council ratepayers who signed, amongst so many names and several prominent people from our community. The two councillors who moved and seconded that motion brought the reputation of Adelaide Hills Council into disrepute, and therefore they should resign immediately. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the Lions Club.
I didn't make anybody. You've also told me.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Tate.
I'd
like to take this opportunity to thank the Lions Club for putting on Australia Day breakfast at the Woodside on Australia Day, January 26th. It was well supported, and the volunteers should be congratulated. It was an awesome to meet up with proud locals, all celebrating being part of the best country on the planet. On Australia Day, January
26th. Thank you. Did anyone want to ask a question? Mr. Bennett? All right, thank you very much for the presentation. Who would next slide to come up, please? I'll just take this opportunity for a minute, but we've checked out on the meeting procedures and we're not. It doesn't look like we can actually put these into the minutes. If we confirm that later on, what we will do is make sure that every councillor gets your speeches circulated to them so they all have them, okay? But I can't give you a definitive answer at the moment otherwise. Right, sorry, Phil, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, sure. I'm Tim Gregg and I'm from Spill. Firstly, thank you, Mayor and Councillors, for the opportunity to be here and speak. I appreciate that. The Lions clubs have been mentioned tonight, and I want to make one brief statement. After discussions with the President and Board Member and a Board Member of the Lions Club of Wongaparinga, we can report the following. That Lions Club support our petition that the Council celebrate Australia Day on the 26th of January annually and continue the long-standing tradition of presenting Adelaide Hills Council Civic Awards and hosting citizen ceremonies on that day. At their Australia Day event on the 26th of January 2024, approximately 400 people attended and they had widespread support within the community to continue to host this annual celebration. The Lions Club had a donation box on the table with no appeal for money, and they raised at least equal to the amount of council funding they would have received in the past before the policy changed. The Lions Club intends to continue to celebrate Australia Day on the 26th of January each year. Having been involved with others in response to Council's decision to not proceed with further consultation, we felt that the original consultation that Council undertook was inadequate, and I think it gave a very false impression. I don't think it represented the community's views. This became increasingly clear to us as we spoke to more and more people in the community who were almost invariably surprised, continue asking the question of when did this happen? Who made the decision? Which councillor? Who was it? It was just a mystery to people that you would have gone ahead to make this decision. I paid a lot of attention to the council bios when they were published before the last election. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't notice anyone publicly campaigning or standing on the basis that they were intending to change the council's commitment to celebrating our national day. I didn't notice the issue being thoroughly canvassed through the council newsletter. I thought an abrogation of responsibility, in my opinion.
Jimmy, you've got about 30 seconds left.
Thank you, Mick. Maybe calling for some feedback or maybe even offering an online poll or petition might have been worthwhile. I don't recall anyone advocating for the downgrading of our national day, and why would you? Why would you do that as a local council? I don't understand. And that's the message I've got from the people I've spoken to. They don't understand why you did it. They regret you've done it. They're disappointed. And they respectfully, as I do, ask you to reconsider your position. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We have one more, do we not? Someone else would like to speak? Well, it doesn't matter if you didn't call us before, you can still speak, but I made that the last call otherwise. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for coming and giving us that information. I'm going to ask, is there anyone likely to foreshadow something?
No,
What I would like to do is get permission of council to bring the motion without notice forward so we can discuss that now so people can come on and actually hear what that motion is going on and then to wait until the end. So Councillor Herman has said he has a motion to put forward on the permission, please. Can I get hands, please, to let me know if we are willing to do them?
Depends what the motion is, then.
Well,
I'm happy to read it out so I understand what it is, and then I will consider whether it's accepted.
Well, then you can reject in the debate. I'm going to accept the motion without notice as it is, right? And then you can. So let's see what the motion is. It's coming up for you here.
Well, I'll move that and I'll speak to it.
Yeah,
right. It was my view that when I read the agenda, there were two items on the agenda the committee were looking for a response. The recommendations that come up, both of them were to receive a note. To me and to the community, that's an insufficient outcome. So what this motion is to ask the CEO to provide a report by October. And because they've been flexible, but not push it out just too far because of these functions. And generally next year.
and the clubs need time to organise themselves. Both the petitions are asking for, or the letters and petitions are asking for Australia Day to be celebrated on the 26th of January, and that civic awards form part of that. There's no mention in any of the letters about citizenship. That's a completely different matter. So we're asking the CEO if he can provide that report, and I did have a discussion with the CEO. They said that probably would be all right. Now, tonight we had additional information provided, extensive additional information provided. But that, again, members, is one side of the argument. There may be another side of the argument that we haven't heard if the CEO can come. It'll give time for members to digest what has been put forward tonight. And Ed has indicated that those papers will be circulated to you. So you can read them again and understand fully exactly what the community has done. Now, before I continue, a question to Yvonne.
That's right.
Sorry, Mr. Waters, I think there was a question about
the it's going to come to you. We've heard in the previous reports, I didn't think it was 55,000, for the number 35. Anyway, a large number, which was embedded in the report, to undertake a full community consultation. I was surprised at that number. So the question, Director, in item 12.3 on the Upper Hermitage CFS, you mentioned that we want to take community consultation in the recommendation. I support that view. So my question to you is, what type of community consultation do you envisage undertaking for the Upper Hermitage CFS lease? And I'm quite even directed to ask the question, what type of mini consultation do you envision?
Can you just ask, let me just ask, can you give the director an idea of what you're trying to
We were told 6 months ago, 50-odd grand for community consultation on Australia Day. The director says in item 12.3, we are going to undertake community consultation.
It might not be the same,
and maybe if this goes through the CEO, we can use the basis of the director's model of consultation.
Well, I'll be in the answer. Well, we'll ask Mr. Waters or CEO if you want to say anything. We want to say this. We want to move over to which one we go.
Thank you, Your Worship. Item 12.3 this evening is in the report and what consultation for that item would look like if Councillor resolves to go ahead. It includes passing a notice in the local paper that circulates in the area, similar notice on our own website. A sign to be placed at the site, a letterbox dropped to the neighbours. This is in relation to leasing out those sites to the CFS and direct emails to relevant stakeholders for that particular item and feedback can be provided through email or phone.
Thank you. We'll be brief now. The CEO may consider that a formal consultation similar to that, apart from the notifying notice could be used in this case. So I move that and I hope the members will support it so that debate on the item can be when the report comes back. I'm not sure what the report will contain. It may find some middle ground, and I hope it would find some middle ground, really do, so that we can bring this case to a climate. So let's see if it's seconded and supported, Chairman.
Thank you.
All right, so that might be one option. I just wouldn't be completely fair to Mr. Waters, is that what he has described is not, as I understand it, a community consultation of the entire district, which is something like 17,000 households at that. So it's a much more.
I understand that, Mayor.
No, I just want other people to understand it. Thank you, Councillor Gill. You're willing to second?
Yes, I am, Kim.
Anyone to speak to it?
I would definitely would. I've always been a councillor, always believed we should consult with our community about anything that's vitally important to them as celebrating our national day for this great nation. To have had that opportunity taken away from the consultation that I did with the community through helping with this petition, and I'll again will reiterate my public interest. I found that community were very upset that they weren't actually informed by this council that they had changed the date that we were celebrating and giving out civic awards and doing citizenship ceremonies. When you looked at council's website, there was nothing on the website to even inform people that we'd made this decision. There was no information that you can't go to Gallaraka Federation Park on the 26th of January. Because there won't be a celebration there, you have to go on November 28th. There was no information on the council's website. So how were people supposed to know that they could have a voice and come to council and actually say that they wanted to support Australia Day being celebrated on Australia Day? Now, I was very interested in one of the speakers tonight speaking about how we are all Australians. We have come from very many countries and we have been here for varying amounts of time. At the end of the day, the thing that makes us all sane is that we are all Australians and we should all be proud of being in this country. And for one, I'm a person that is getting fed up with having to say, I'm sorry that I'm Australian. I am sorry that I was not part of the First Nations people that came to this country. And I'm sorry that my family were migrants. I'm sick and tired of saying that I'm sorry. If I go back through my ancestry, and I compare it to those that say that they identify as First Nations, I'm actually a German person. One person in my first 32 the ancestors, one of them was born in Germany. The rest have been born here. And I don't know where else I'm supposed to go if I cannot be an Australian. This is the only country I have, and it's the only country I love. My job actually even reflects that. I think that this council has let its community down by not consulting on this issue.
Yeah, Council. We are not, I'm just going to say, be careful about actually criticising the council and resolutions they've made, okay?
Yep. I would like to see us actually consult and find out those views. People that I spoke to did not show any sort of racism. They were trying to understand the issue. We as leaders need to actually help guide this conversation and actually have the conversation and get to the bottom of what the community actually want. And we can only do that by asking the question of the community. And by only asking a small group, we aren't getting that information and we're not making informed decisions. And that is what we are supposed to do under the Local Government Act. Is make informed decisions. And we're not doing that if we do not consult. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gill. So we've had a mover and we've had a seconder. Would anyone like to debate the item? Thank you, Councillor Oxford.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to very quickly say thank you to everyone in the gallery today who has been part of this. When this matter first came to council, back in the early days of the term, I tried twice to get through a motion for this to go to consultation before we made a decision and I was unsuccessful. I think that what this group of people has done is pretty impressive. With over a thousand signatures, I had quite a few text messages from my network of people saying that they had seen a very passionate group of people at the front of the post office on the main street of Logan that were collecting signatures about something that they really believe in. And I think the petition goes to show that it's been quite a successful one and their engagement with the community has been very, very impressive. someone feel free to approach me if I'm wrong here. I don't have the correct paper on my screen at the moment, but I believe that this petition also accepted signatures from people who were supportive of council's decision. It wasn't, if you're not on our side, you can't sign our paper. So I understand that the way that this group ran this petition did not provide a platform for racism and divisiveness, which is what is always expected to happen. I'm not quite sure why, but that's the expectation from people that live here, that if you disagree, you're racist. But I support Councillor Herman's motion, and I thank the group for all their hard work. She's done a fantastic job. Thank you.
So I'm just going to ask Ms. Beer if she'll clarify how we actually put our numbers. Sorry, excuse me, so Ms. Beer.
Thank you, through you, Chair. Just to clarify the counting of governments, when we counted them, we excluded those that disagreed with the statement in the petition. So we counted the ones that had indicated full agreement with the petition.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, thank you. Would anybody else? Sorry, would anybody else like to speak in the debate? So I've got Councillor Grant and then Councillor Bolton, so, and then Councillor Cheever. So we follow up with Councillor Grant, please.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank the people who have spoken. I can't support this motion because although I've read the petition and I've read the letter referred to, I don't need a report to explain them. I don't understand what this motion is asking the CEO to do. So perhaps Councillor Herman can clarify, but a report in response to those matters, what are we asking the CEO to actually instruct us on, or what information might the CEO gather to inform the chamber? I just, as it stands, I think it's asking the CEO to do something extremely vague.
All right, so let's just ask Councillor Owen, if you want to answer that. My understanding was that this will be looking at other options for celebrations around the today. But Councillor,
I did mention in my summing up that this information that's been given to us tonight, is new to members. You might want to go back and have a look and digest all the information. But hopefully there's some middle ground that can be found by the CEO that will bring the parties together so they can agree on something. At the moment, it's, as everyone says, it's divisive. But for them and us, how do you want to describe it? So it's not an easy job for him. I accept that. But there may be some middle ground that can be found after the consultation or however the CEO that goes about the task that can bring us together. And that's really what I'm hoping for. That there is some middle ground that can be found. Could we done not that?
All right, so then let me just clarify since you've asked it. CEO, you have a fair idea of what it is.
Yes, and through the mayor, I do. I think that it's a summary of petition material, and then coming back with two council report around some options.
Mm-hmm. Right, thank you. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify that because I've people know you've been saying Councillor Grant. So I'll move now to Councillor Austin.
Madam Mayor, I accept what you said, and I accept what the CEO said, but with all due respect, that needs to be put into the motion. Can I suggest that if that is the intent of the mover, that after October 24, the insertion of the word options in response to the petition, et cetera, et cetera. Then it makes sense.
Okay, so we'll take it as a variation. Are you happy with that?
Happy.
And the seconder? Is that a Councillor Law? You're happy with that section? Okay, thank you. Did you do the same thing?
No.
So I now have Councillor Cheever.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. This is another one of of the real challenges of being an elected member, and I all put it out there of leading in personal biases and beliefs and it is really difficult to I think the bit that I'm taking out, I guess some of what we've heard tonight in the public forum, the petition itself, is really centered around consultation. It's a common theme that's being brought up, and you know, it would be remiss of me to highlight. I just spent 6 months in depth understanding community consultation in my studies. And you know, from the wording I'm seeing at the moment up on the screen, it is somewhat vague, but what it does open up is when you look at the petition itself and that reference to consultation, what I would hope come out of that is maybe a reflection opportunity to look at our consultation. I do see some opportunity within the consultation we undertook for this particular item. And I think there's always opportunity to improve. It was a new issue, or one of the early councils to adopt the change. And we didn't have a lot of opportunity to explore other councils in their process or how this could look. So we were a little bit of trial by fire. And I think it is really important to reflect on that. This motion itself, I've not supported. I didn't support the previous motion to go out to consultation because I don't even think we understand what that looks like here. And I would hate for us to go to consultation and do a disservice to our community in that. And I think this is a first step and a first opportunity to undertake some of that reflection. So I will support this motion.
All right, thank you. I've got Councillor March, I think Councillor Judge, and I've been there. And then we'll go to Councillor Pantakali, and then I'll go back to Councillor Kujonga after very late. So let's start over here. Sorry, Councillor March.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I must say I'm pretty much with Councillor Grant on this one. It's pretty vague, even with the word options in there. I really can't support this motion in the form it's in at the moment. I thought I'd make some comments about some of the comments that have been made about lack of consultation, and now everyone agrees with what this particular petition makes. One of them is in reference to some consultation that I actually did way back on the first looking at this matter, and I actually brought up my particular poll that I actually ran, which was on this specific issue. Back, I think it was about January last year, actually. And I actually sent this this out to all of the people that are on my email list, something like about 250, 300 people. And it's not just people that agree with me, it's people that that any person that I've had any interaction with at all in my time on council. And I actually found that. Have a look at the responses. 26% were against changing the date of our Australia Day citizenship ceremony in Australia Day Awards to a date other than 26th of January, and 74%. 74 out of 100 people were in favour, and there were some very interesting debates here. So I don't think you say there was no consultation and that we haven't been listening to our community. And also note as well, and I'll just see if I can find the information, that there was another petition that we presented here earlier this year with 212 petitioners, obviously not as many as on this particular petition, that were in favour of council keeping its current policy with respect to citizenship and award ceremonies around that time of year. And it was, I think I said 212 people. And that was a petition that was put together in about 2 weeks.
How many opposed it?
Sorry.
Yeah, please don't call out.
Sorry, I thought it would be interesting to put that perspective on things. So I still think this is a pretty vague thing. If this gets rejected, does this mean that, in 6 months' time, we're going to have another petition and another push to do something? That's just my thoughts.
All right, thank you. Right, thank you. My next starting one is Councillor Pascali. Thank you, and through you, Mayor. I just want to explain that I'm not going to support this motion because this actually comes back to a fundamental issue that I have constantly raised in this chamber, and that is around our process of community consultation. And I know it is in our strategic plan, and it is requiring us to be patient in order to get it right. But I truly believe for us as a chamber to make really sound decisions in here, we need a consultation process that is robust and bespoke and allows us to be able to consult with up to two residents on a boundary right through to big fundamental issues like this. And we haven't got that in place, and that is why we are in this situation. And I'm not supporting this because I want the time and energy put into actually something that is really going to benefit us into the long term. And we need a really strong consultation policy. And it's not the first time I've said this in this chamber.
Thank you, Councillor Scarlett.
Yeah.
I now have the
Councillor Oscar. Madam Mayor, I agree. It doesn't make sense. It should read identifying options in response to the petition. Then it gives a clear direction to CEO.
Thank you, Councillor. So I think it's given before, but that's fine. That changes the scope of it. Not all your meaning of it. Sorry, Councillor, how would that really change? Councillor Hill? Councillor Osborne, did you want to go? Councillor Parkin?
Yes, thank you. Through your worship, I'd like to move an amendment. I would like to move that the motion amendment that the CEO provides a report to council by, it might have to be a slightly different date, maybe 22nd of November 2024, exploring options for canvassing the views of the residents of the Adelaide Hills Council around the issues associated with the Celebration of Australia. And suggesting various options as to how we might resolve this issue, having, I guess, officially, and I'm not saying this very well, but officially consulted the community. I hear everybody here tonight, and I hear how frustrated you are, but I also know there are many, many people in council who agree with the decision that we made, but I think there is an opportunity here.
Sorry, Councillor Parker, but before you just talk to it, can you just...
Sorry. Yes, you can. I'm really terrible at this. Exploring options to canvass the views of the residents of the Adelaide Hills Council on the Celebration of Australia Day. Both officially and support of community celebrations. So I think, can I speak to it now?
Yes, I'm just trying to understand and clarify what you're saying here. I mean, one of the things. Probably, I think November will be a bit late. What do you want to clarify? Can you just give me a second?
Sure.
You
want to put the
Adelaide Hills Council residents believe the options to canvass and use arguments that Adelaide Hills Council on official and community events for Australia Day?
Yes, I feel that certainly better. Sorry, could we make it right place? Sorry, not just residents.
Yeah,
constituents.
Well, I think we have to say in right place. I don't think right place, but the residents.
Oh, right place, but all residents. Yeah, so residents in right place. Okay.
Okay, so let's just have a look at this one, isn't it?
Madam Mayor, that would exclude anyone who rented properties.
I kind of thought we would have that in mind anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I want you to be concerned about this behavior because they're more simple. Right, so this is an amendment that's been moved by Councillor Parkin. So now that we need to vote on the amendment.
Could I speak to you?
Yes, please do, and then you can see if you can get substantive. Thank you.
Thank you. The reason that I want to amend this motion is because the first motion is a direct reaction response to the petition, and I completely understand that. And the petition forms, views of one part of the community, and it's right that we respond to it. But I think we also need a motion that is more holistic and sort of takes in the views of all members of our community, which is arguably something that we potentially should have done earlier. And this gives us the opportunity to really do that, to truly explore the views of everybody and explore some different options, to give people choices, potentially, to give people choices when they want to celebrate. So to me, rather than just sort of reacting to one group of people, we should actually throw this open to all groups and all views, bring those views in, and then we can, as a council, make an informed decision as a result of that. So I feel that this might be what we were trying to come to in the first motion. And I feel that if we gather information first, it will allow us to potentially make a more informed decision. So I commend the motion and I have a second. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, on a point of order. The alleged amendment that's moved by Councillor Parkin with respect is not an amendment. It is a totally different motion. The original motion makes reference to the petition. The alleged amendment makes no reference to the petition whatsoever. I think from a governance perspective, it would be advisable to deal with the first motion, and if that is lost, the second motion, alleged amendment as moved by Councillor Parkin, gets a run.
I think you make a good point. I was actually trying to work out whether or not how far away it was from the first one.
Maybe the suggestion is to pull those references down into the Councillor Parkin's motion regarding the petition and the letter. Then it may be seen as a thing, but it's a
very small
decision. Yeah, I'll be sorry, I'll have that. I know the things right to put on it. What is it? No. If the mover could move the petition and the letter go to the line start down into the amendment, it may then be backfired as the amendment start with the new motion.
Yeah, thank you. I could see what Councillor Adam was saying. So we could have then that the amendment could be that in response to the petition with 5,000 signatures, that the CEO then provide a report to Council by the end of exploring options. But I would have that at the beginning, a bit pulled down. That's it, against the motion. And then potentially it's
not. No, we're being technical, but yeah. I would call another point of order because she's moved and spoken to the amendment, so she can't then change the amendment.
Yeah.
You can't just keep reworking the approach she's spoken to.
Well, we did the
first one. And that's governance thing, but no, we didn't. That was a variation agreed to by the movement second. We haven't actually spoken to or debated at all.
Okay, well,
And I'll see governance's direction on that, but well, that's just been my initial thought.
All right, well, we'll do that, but we are also trying to resolve it as well. So let's just see what we think is the best way of doing that. All right, so the advice I'm getting from our governance is that within our own policies, the mover may actually vary her own motion. Now, I think it's actually specified. All right, so what we're going to do in regard to the points and our councillor's report up and the amendment that Councillor Parkin's put forward that's slightly varied, but it's okay. That is the amendment that you see there. That's what you're moving. You're happy with that. All right, so now you're seeking a seconding. You've spoken to it. Is there somebody who would second Councillor Parkin's motion?
Yeah. If I haven't spoken on it before the amendment...
No, you can.
Can I talk to the amendment if it's not seconded and still speak to the original? Yes. Okay, all right.
So, let's all wait for a second. Thank you. So, that's seconded by Councillor Oscar Strong. So, I'll now go.
Thank you. Councillor,
who would like to speak? And just please speak. Ask, is there other people who wish to speak in the debate? Okay.
So I really like Councillor Osterstock's motion because it's asking to identify options. When we're looking at Councillor Parkins, it's actually what happens to the canvas. So it's sort of narrowing down, you know, what council are coming back with, what the CEO is going to come back with. If we go with the original one, we're looking at identifying any responses, what all the responses might be, all of the different things we could do that might be more inclusive and more fitted for conversation rather than just singly and only focusing on canvas, how we canvas the views. That's for me, that's a really small, shorter-sighted option rather than a broad open option for council staff to have a look at in a more broader.
No, that's all right. Look, thank you. Look, I think we're coming back to the same things that Councillor Gasconi alluded to. It's the issues that we have with community consultation. We all know we could do better, and we do, I guess, move along that path. But if you don't agree with it, obviously you can not support it. So if there's somebody else coming to speak, if you want to say something, you can see
them. I have a question on your phone.
Just point out. Yeah, sorry, your question.
And I will talk on the event, speak on the event.
I can see me. Yes, you may.
Essentially, the amendment is seeking to do what the original motion did. Perhaps it's been expanded a bit. You know, I think in both motions they're trying to get a result. Which one is the better way to do it? I'm not sure it's the better way. But whatever we want, when you vote on these, please think of the outcome that we want. We want something that we can put back to the community that will bring us together. From that moment, we're not doing it. We can, the CEO can recommend the options of how we do that. And the point I know that Councillor Park has Pasquale, I'm not sure, yes, you were on council when that happened, the issue of the lack of consultation in the original decisions, I accept what you're saying. Quite clearly, there should be consultation. We have a very firm policy on that.
Yeah, Councillor, just in a council to the end of the All right, now most people have spoken, so no one has not voted in like that. Not so much.
Can I ask if we can amend this one, or vary this one, sorry, that's all I want to do, to say after October 2024, identify options, including exploring ways to canvass the views of residents?
Yes.
Then we cover both.
Brian, just double check on the question from the Hoover. Also, move very agent for our motion, which is allowed to do. So we just want to work out how many very agents are allowed. One motion. There's no agenda, but I don't actually really want to tell you that. I seem to be very annoying. But
I'd be happy for that.
Okay. So let me just check. Councillor Parkins have been without variation. Councillor Stock and all that. All right, we need to start bringing this to a close. Councillor Pascal.
Yeah.
Councillor Huff has been the English problem.
Can you just change it to identifying options, including ways to canvass the views? Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Amendment only refers to the petition we referred tonight and doesn't refer to the petition we referred from the night to April. Would the CEO take that petition into account when bringing this report?
Through the mayor, of course. I think that gives us enough flexibility to include any petition on this side.
All right, thank you. So I'm now going to, there is no further filing amendment. Sorry about that. We didn't have any further.
That's fine.
First time I've written, did a very good job of reply. So, okay.
That's all right. Thank you. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go straight to the vote on this amendment base. So this is an amendment moved by Councillor Parkin, seconded by Councillor Osstock. And you can see that it was something that was Councillor Thurman with his original motions comfortable with. So I'm going to ask now, please, all of those in favour of the amendments, it's not the original motion, it's just the amendment, okay? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, thank you. So with our amendment is has been moved and accepted. Now, so from this point, that now becomes a motion. So, this is amended by, but we do need to do this again.
We can ask it again.
So, is there anyone in the original motion who didn't speak very much? Speak again, so yourself, Councillor Dana?
Yes, thank you. I guess I'll speak from the perspective of what we might receive in this report, given that it was supported as an amendment with a majority. And that is, I suppose, that we should not, I'm not going to prejudge the future decisions. And I don't think that the report that comes back should be making any particular recommendation. I know Councillor Herman said, you know, the report should come up with a middle ground, but ultimately, as much as what we may not like in some ways, this is to a degree a political decision, and it's a decision that the chamber should make as representatives of our community, and it's not a decision that I feel the administration should be making a particular recommendation.
No, it's not, you say you're absolutely right, it's a political decision. Correct. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, so
identifying options.
Yeah, and that's why I just guess, because some of the debate was saying that, I guess, anticipating a particular direction coming back, I think it should provide a broad scope of options to then allow us as an elected body to make an informed decision as to how, if or when we may choose to act upon this. I do want to thank the community for coming out tonight and actually presenting their views. I do think that's really important. Irrespective of whether we have differing opinions on the issue as a whole, I think it's important that we get to hear the views of our community. So I'll just sort of make those points.
All right, thank you, Councillor Daniel. I'm going to make the last one. Happy Councillor Boyle.
Yeah, thank you. Through you, Matt. Councillors know my idea, which is obviously lots of people have heard of before, that is celebrating today on May 8th. Because it brings in Aussie larrikinism, and it brings people together with humour. It's a middle ground of bringing us together that Councillor Hannon was talking about. So for me, I really look forward to seeing different.
It's just that you're really going on focus here from the middle ground. I think you do know what you're doing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, please find it, but my name, but I think you need to be careful.
Okay.
Thank you. So thank you for contributing. I think we'll bring the debate to close now. Councillor Osterthal. I think I've Councillor Carpin. You do have a bit of a lot of work like that.
The debate around insurance has been very interesting to listen to, and I'm happy you've all absorbed that. We spent enough time on this matter, so I'm not going to have an extended drive to apply, but I'll commit the motion. There'll be another step forward to resolving the matter once and for all.
Not quite sure you're going to achieve that.
And I do have faith in the CEO that he comes.
All right, so we've heard the right of reply and we've had a really far away debate this evening. So I am now going to put this to the vote. And I'm going to ask all of those who are in favour of the final motion that you see in front of you there. Please raise your hand. Okay, so we have paid. So this motion is carried. All right. So that's the
general
division. Yes, you can do that. So I set aside my previous ruling, more division. And what I'd like to do is ask all of those in favour to please stand so that we can just record your name. Thank you. So we have Councillor Turner, Pauling. Yeah. Cheetah, Hudson, Osterthal, and Daniel. Thank you. And all of those against the motion, please stand. Thank you. We have Councillor Selwood, Grant, Fiscali, and Marsh. Thank you very much. So we can see from that that we still have the motion is carried. All right, thank you. So let me just explain to the gallery what's happened with that. It's a bit of a technicality, but we have to vote twice, just so these then go on the record. So what you see in front of you is what we've resolved to do is to, from the motion moved by Councillors Kermit and Gill, is to actually further canvass the views that you put forward here today, and also some other views of other residents from ratepayers in the Hills. And so, if you like, that is a way of moving forward that we've seen, it may not come to a great deal, it may come to a great deal. We can't say that in advance. We haven't fully established the best way of doing that with your consultation, and we will endeavour to improve what we have done in order to canvass a good number of people on this topic. So I'm going to thank you.
So I just ask a question of clarification. Yeah. My understanding is that it's just a report coming back and there will be a future decision as to
hear how to
actually.
Yeah, that's correct. So that's a very important point. So what we're asking for here is a report of the way forward. Okay, it isn't us deciding what's going forward. That would come at a later date.
So what I'd like to do is thank you also very much for the incredible effort that was put in order to get that petition done. And we've had some really impressive speeches made by people and presentations this evening in the public forum. For those of you who are happy for your speeches to be put forward, please could I just ask you, maybe you could leave them with, there's a gentleman back, Tom, thank you Tom, who's with our IT. Perhaps you could leave them with you on the way out. We will collect them and we will make sure they're circulated to everyone, and everyone comes to see this evening. So I thank you very much and I wish you a safe journey home. Thank you. Now you can say, but there's nothing else on here that's relating to the issue that you have come from. We do our role, but we don't take any decisions. Okay. All right, thank you. Can I just ask Councillor, councillors now in the chamber? I'm just going to suggest we have the primary road. We did a Monday road involved, Monday road, we're going to show our hands, please. So what we do is, you know, the time now, 10 feet in time, make sure we back lines, but so far, I've got that no longer. Councillors Pascali and Councillors Daniel, you both said you had a conflict of interest. So can I ask Councillor Pascali if you could, we could just report exactly what that is again?
Thank you, through you, Mayor. I had a general conflict of interest.
Yes.
I live in Woodford, which is the suburb, one of the suburbs under consideration in the boundary realignment. This is a general conflict of interest. I'll not gain any benefit from participating in the debate and I'm choosing not to vote though. I cannot participate in the committee but can reflect on its terms of reference, which is the nature of my debate, and I will stand in shame before that and make the vote.
All right, so at the end of the debate, you will leave your seat and out of the room, I thank you. Councillor Daniel.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I would declare a general conflict of interest. The nature of the conflict and why is the fact that I'll be appointed to the committee should the motion be supported, and I would not be if it was not supported. I intend on leaving the chamber and I will not be part of the debate or vote. I will just, for context for the elected body, let them know that I would, obviously, as indicated in the report by Councillor Sissok, be happy to contribute should that be the wishes of the chamber, in their hands to decide.
All right, thank you. Now, Councillor Selwood.
Councillor Daniel, conflict of interest, I'd like to also declare a general conflict of interest, which I didn't declare earlier, in that I am on the committee by default. And this motion gets removed from that committee. So I would not be on the committee if this is passed. I intend to stay in the chamber and participate in the debate because I believe it's not technically considered a conflict of interest. It is on the committee of council.
Okay. All right, so this is your motion, that's lost the song. But then we've lost somebody next year. Oh, sorry, that's a day.
My lady is I.
So
a bit of drastics.
Say again.
If I needed to rely on Councillor Daniel's vote, it would be enough.
Okay, so let's jump ahead and get you to talk to your motion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move.
Sorry, Councillor Parkin's got a hand up. You've got a query.
I do a quick question. Just I noticed that the motion said that notwithstanding the boundary change committee terms of reference, my recollection is that this role is usually done by vote, by popular vote. So I'm just not sure
I can address that in my debate.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, because I understand also governments have taken some land advice from this. Councillor Stubb.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the following motion. I move that notwithstanding the boundary change committee's terms of reference, Appendix 1, effective forthwith, the council appoints Councillor Nathan Daniel to the committee in place of the Deputy Mayor, Melanie Selwood, for a period up to and including 30th of November 2025. And in speaking to the motion, the current boundary change committee terms of reference allow for the Deputy Mayor to automatically occupy a membership position on the committee. Since the committee's commencement, Councillor Daniel has been an integral part of the committee and therefore has well crossed the intricacies of the boundary change issue. In order to maintain the committee's knowledge base, and importantly, with the agreement of both the Deputy Mayor, Selwood, and Councillor Daniel, Council's endorsement of the aforementioned recommendation is sought. Councillor, through you, Mayor, Councillor Parkin is correct. The terms of reference are set by the Council, and the Council has absolute discretion to change those terms of reference at its wish, notwithstanding the terms of reference. And that is exactly what this motion seeks to do, for the reasons I've outlined. The current terms of reference allow for the Deputy Mayor to occupy the position. The Deputy Mayor has expressed a wish not to occupy that position, and Councillor Daniel has expressed the wish to be part of the committee, and this motion seeks the Council endorsement for that wish. And as I said, the Council has absolute power to agree to the Deputy Mayor's wish and the wish of Councillor Daniel. And I commend the motion. I commend their wishes to the Chamber for your consideration.
Did you have a question?
Sorry, I'll second it.
Not second it. Can I just ask a question for exactly as many that spoke to it? I just want to ask Councillor Oss as well. The question, did you consider adding another number to the terms of reference so that you go from 4 to 5 people, that whereby you could just add Councillor Daniel, so you were carrying his experience but not moving
to deputy? We've got 5 people on there already.
I'm sure it would be 6.
No.
What I'm saying is, have you not considered adding one person to it rather than having to delete somebody as well?
No, Madam Mayor, that wasn't the wish of the Deputy Mayor. Or
no, it's all right, thank you. Councillor Selwood, do you have a second? So do you want to speak first?
Yes, please. I think it's worth explaining my rationale for supporting this motion to the Chamber. There are a number of reasons why I think Councillor Daniel is better placed to be on this committee than myself. One is that he has been here for a very long time, dealing with this issue since its very inception, and is fully across all the intricacies of the boundary change. And we are now at a critical point of that, with the Boundary Change Commission now looking at this very seriously. And I think it's really important that we have continuity and make sure that that experience is brought into that committee. One of the other reasons why I support this motion is that as Deputy Mayor, I automatically get put on a number of committees. This one and the CEOPRP committee, and I'm already a member of the Audit Committee. And I think sharing the load of responsibilities is a good thing. I don't think that many positions should necessarily be held by one person. I think it's better governance to have different views going to these committees. And so for that reason, I think it's very good that we have someone with experience who can step into that role in my stead. And I also would like to retain some capacity to be able to still speak with constituents and all those sorts of things. And I think that it's really important that I don't overburden myself with things that can then limit my abilities to fulfill my other duties as Deputy Mayor. So they're the reasons I support this motion. I think it's a good change. And I think now that we're hitting the real crux of this issue, I think we need consistency and clarity. And I think Councillor Daniel will provide that. Thank you.
Right, Councillor Park, did you have a question or do you want to debate?
Thank you, I'd like to debate.
Okay, before you do that, let me ask a question of the second then.
And I guess what is the critical point or crux of the matter you're referring to?
That we now have to go to the change committee that not the committee, the commission that are actively undertaking this process.
Thank you, Councillor Parker. You want to start with that?
Thank you. Yes, I actually can't support this motion. The reason that we have terms of reference for a committee are to ensure that the committees are democratic and that all members of the council are of the opportunity to consider a place on a committee and putting their hand up for a place on a committee. I don't disagree with anything that Councillor Selwood said, and I agree that, Councillor Danning will be one for choice, but he should put his hand up and said all of those things himself so that we could have voted him onto this committee, which is what the terms of reference exist for. So I can't support this because I feel it sets a poor precedent for the selection of members to committees in the Adelaide Council. The terms of reference require that this is an open position and that anybody on this council is allowed to put their hand up for this position. So if Councillor Downing would like that position, he's welcome to put his hand up in my view and speak to himself and we'll vote for him. But I don't think that we should start a set of precedents where we break the rules because we want a certain person to get the job. So I don't think I can support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Parker. Now let me see if I've got the advice on. Oh, sorry, I think you've got a question. I'll just take questions for a second.
Can I just take clarity? It's my understanding that the terms of reference don't allow for this position to be appointed by vote, but that it allows for this position to be appointed by default, that it is the mayor and the deputy mayor in her absence, given that there is a conflict of interest.
Correct.
Can I have clarity on that from the administration?
In that case, can you say that again so that everyone understands?
So I'm seeking clarification on whether this position, it's my understanding that this position is not appointed by a vote of council, that this position is by default in the terms of reference, the mayor or in her absence, the deputy mayor, at a default position, it's not an elected position.
Yeah, but that's correct, it's a default position, but I think the point that Councillor Parkin is making is that that Councillor Daniel no longer holds something, and therefore, and it's rather than being put on council by default, it's not been voted now. Correct. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I just wanted clarity that
is how that is. All right. So I now go to with Councillor Pascale and then Councillor Brown.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor. I just wanted to pick up on the point that the position is, in the terms of reference, is as Councillor Parkin pointed out, it's deputy mayor by default because the mayor is in a conflict of interest. And in our own report here, it says that that could cause a perception issue, and I think this is something that we should take on board. The terms of reference were set to have a mayor or now the deputy mayor for a reason, and you did that to send a clear sign to the community about your investment in this committee and it's how it's constructed. I don't feel comfortable with this kind of what feels like a bit of a deal that's being done, and that might not be the right word, and I don't say that disparagingly, but it feels like
respectful.
Thank you. Thanks. So now the person who's speaking to speak.
Thank you. And I appreciate me being interrupted during the debate. I'd like to interrupt you during the
debate. Thank you. That. Thank you. It's only the third time this evening you've actually interrupted the proceedings. If you do that again, I'm going to have to ask a little bit.
And I just wanted to pick up.
Derek, carry on.
Thank you. And I just wanted to pick up on the point about knowledge. In preparing for tonight's question on without notice, I did actually go through the minutes from the Boundary Change Committee and only met three times. And the work that's been brought forward in those meetings have actually at some point come through the chamber. So notwithstanding the first one, because I wasn't there, but all the other content has actually come through this chamber in some form or another. So there is a continuity of knowledge that we could all participate in to a degree. So I just wanted to raise that. And
and just say that at the moment, when this debate is being held in public forum, we've actually got the mayor of Campbelltown going up against our CEO. We don't have mayor for man, and that is creating a perception problem out there. And so I think it's really important that we show to this committee and show to our community that we respect the level of hierarchy, so to speak, in this chamber and that they are in this committee. So they are my thoughts. Thank you.
Sorry, just before you then, I think we're going to clarification said there is perception. Are you talking about in your community? Is that what you mean?
Yes, through you, Mayor. I am talking quite closely with residents of Woodford at the moment. I know that we have one member of the Moriart Residents Association who's very active in talking to the chamber, but there are actually more members becoming more active. Thank you.
Clarification. Thank you. Now, you're going to be leaving the chamber?
Yes.
Now, is there somebody, now look, can I ask you, Councillor Pascali? Sorry, I will come to you. Are you happy to leave the chamber?
Can I hear the rest of the debate and then leave?
But are you then happy to leave the chamber on your own?
Yes,
thank you. Right, so let us go back and think the next person is Councillor Grant.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Some interesting discussions so far. I just want to add and comment on some of the things that have been said. I think, especially in response to Councillor Pascali's touching on the issue of familiarity with the issue, and it's true, the papers discussing the boundary issue have come to this chamber and everyone's seen them. But of course, you have to remember that Councillor Daniel's been a serving member for a number of terms, and Councillor Selwyn is, for that reason, less familiar with the long-term, has less not long-term knowledge of the matter, and I think that was part of Councillor Selwyn's position. So I respect that she felt she wasn't as well informed as Councillor Daniel. I think the comment that the deputy mayor could simply nominate for a position on the committee isn't really true, because he couldn't, as deputy mayor, nominate to be a committee member. He's automatically on as deputy mayor, and once he's no longer deputy mayor, he's off it. And I think that presents a problem, because although we've had some consistency with deputy mayors in the past, we could change deputy mayor every 12 months. And there's reasons to do that. But for an important committee, for any important committee, I think that would bring in a discontinuity that may not serve the committee well. So in this circumstance, I think this is a sensible motion. I think it serves the boundary change committee well, and it's true the committee hasn't met a lot, but this issue will probably come to a head pretty soon, and the committee may well have to make some pretty robust recommendations to the chamber. So I think having all the experience and knowledge on the committee possible is a wise thing to do. For those reasons, I mean, I'm certainly thank everyone for their contribution, but I'll be supporting the motion, because I think it will serve the interests of the council well to have a well-stocked committee.
Sorry, what's that? Can I ask for one?
Oh, well-stocked, as in with a good composition.
Yeah, thank you.
As in bar.
Thank you. All right. Okay, so do we have anybody else want to speak? Councillor Chair, I'm sorry if I ignored you.
That's great. I guess just wanting to potentially foreshadow a motion without notice in that if this wasn't to be successful, we need to get some grants together. Addressing the democratic process the Council Plan has highlighted, and whether there can be some amendments to the term of reference to no longer include the role of, but rather that we do elect someone as a body, because I think that's sort of the decision we're making here, right place at the right time to the right committee, and not all committees are going to be like that. I do think it raises a broader question on our committees
and how we sometimes allocate a role rather than the individual. And to be honest, I get to both. So I don't support this motion in its current form. So we'll see how it goes.
Thank you, Councillor Chilo. Now, is there anybody else wanting to speak in the debate before we go back to Councillor Osterthorpe? All right, then I'm going to actually declare a conflict of interest. I haven't spoken to Bill Carwell. I just wanted to make a few points about what has come up. First of all, the conflict of interest. It will be a general conflict of interest, but there may be an apprehension of bias in the same way that it does with Pascale. I own property in this area, which is why I'm up on this committee. And obviously, as you can see, I'm going to join in the debate, and I believe that I can bring an independent mindset to any final decision that you may make. So I just want to respond to some of the questions that we have said. Now, one of the things that's come up is that the current deputy mayor is not as well versed in this particular subject, and that would bring you down to the boundaries change committee. However, it is actually, I believe, and you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe somewhere in those terms of reference, there is the duty upon the presiding member of that committee to actually bring any new members on the committee, up to scratch, if you like, or educate, help inform them. So, as long as they're doing that duty, I actually don't see that as a problem. Someone's always going to be better informed than somebody else. And as long as you can, then I don't think that would be a good thing. The other thing is that it's regarding the deputy mayor and the responsibilities. And I'm going to be proper here and say any deputy mayor, if they don't want the responsibilities of deputy mayor, they don't put the hand up, you don't chop and change from it and then not come in and out of stuff. Because the reason for putting those, and I'm now going to refer to Councillor Chilo's point, which was with regard to roles and not individuals, the roles were specifically chosen. And I'm sorry you're not on there, or you're not a deputy mayor, but the result, the roles were deliberately chosen so that we did have a balance of opposition there. I take you right back to the beginning when Councillor Daniel and myself spoke with Campbelltown with regards to the survey. We were able to put forward two people in roles, and it was the roles that was quite important, and it didn't, our own knowledge of it was less important, I believe, and actually the fact that we were putting up to, if you like, more power-based roles. So I think there are things that we need to think about, and I think we need, quite frankly, not to be thinking about the wishes of individuals, but what best serves the public interest. So I think that is what we're going on, or what we are going on. I ask you to consider serving public interest and not individual wishes of councillors who've made agreements between themselves. And so I'm now going to offer over to Councillor Osterthorpe, because you have a right of it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Serving the public interest, Madam Mayor, that's what we're all here for, including you.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, did you say that in a sarcastic way?
No, Madam Mayor. No, I'm sorry if you took it that way.
Yes, I felt it was coming that way.
No, definitely not, Madam Mayor. Serving the public interest is exactly what this motion seeks to do. As articulated by Councillor Selwood and Councillor Grant. Serving the public interest is best served by having a person or persons on the committee who have an intricate knowledge of the issue. That's how you best serve the public interest. And that is exactly what this committee seeks to do. Councillor Daniel occupied his position on the committee by virtue of his position of deputy mayor. He's no longer deputy mayor. Councillor Selwood is. And Councillor Selwood has articulately expressed a view as to why she feels that Councillor Daniel would be the best person to occupy the position that the terms of reference, as they currently stand, allow for. And this motion seeks to the council's support for that outcome. That is how the public interest is best served. I am at a loss to some of the arguments put forward by yourself, Madam Mayor, in respect to this issue. So, councillors, there is nothing tricky or difficult or hard about what is being asked of the council to do. It is within the council's power. It is serving the public interest. It is serving the wishes of the Deputy Mayor. She's expressed her desire as to why she doesn't feel comfortable on the committee, and I think we should respect that. We should respect the Deputy Mayor's wishes and indeed respect Councillor Daniel's wishes to remain on this committee and contribute to the public good. And that is the public interest. And I ask those members who have expressed views contrary to the intent of the motion to rethink their position and vote accordingly. And I commend the motion to the chamber. I ask for your support.
All right, thank you. That's the end of the debate. So, Councillor Pascali is going to lead. No, you don't need to shut the door. It's not okay. All right, thank you. So, let's put this to the vote, please. So, we're just going to ask all of those please in favour of this. Put your hands, please. And those against. Okay, so that's 7-3 in favour of this motion, then I declare the motion carried. Forward division, thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Gill. I set aside my previous ruling and we will ask those in favour, please, to stand. So we have got Councillor Herman, Councillor Boyd, Councillor Selwood, Councillor Brown, Councillor Cheetah. Right, Councillor Mudge, Councillor Osterstoff. And those against, please, thank you. We have Councillors Gill, Councillors Parkin, and Councillor Sutton. Thank you. All right, thank you, everyone. So we can move on now to the administration reports. It's about as well. All right, thank you. We've just got one person to sign out to the ladies from one. So we'll carry on with item 12, which is the administration reports. Now, the first administration report is with regards to December and January meeting schedules. This is Ms. Gill's report. Do you have any of your information that you wish to add or highlight? Okay, if not, then we will therefore just go straight to a vote. Thank you, everyone. All those in favour? We've done the motion. The motion carried. All right. So, All right, thank you. So we can now move on to item 12.2. This is how they built the West National Park. Now, we all know the Max Office comes with form for that, but I'm just going to have the opportunity, Councillor Hutt's permission wanted to either move the item or give any information that you've got that you'd like to give to people before they decide to move or second.
Yes, I'm happy to move this item as printed. It's not actually about Lee Maxwell at all, but she has been the executive office of the Locals Region Waste Management Authority for quite a considerable amount of time, and she has just taken the position of chief executive for CORA, which is Central Allied Waste Region Waste and Resource Authority or something. I don't know, there are too many acronyms. So this long acronym authority is going out to the market for, they call themselves the authority, but it will be authority, to get a new chief executive officer instead of an executive officer, which will be quite interesting process to go through. But this motion here is just about appointing, reappointing a couple of people to the Audit and Risk Committee. I know that Alex O, who is a really good operator. He is at Mount Barker District Council. He's one of those people who thinks about everything and asks all the questions and makes you think, why didn't I ask that question? He really understands what he's talking about. And Rebecca Wilson also comes highly regarded as well, but I haven't actually met her. So I mentioned the motion. They are good operators to have in that committee.
All right, so I think what we're hearing from you is that we don't have any concerns. So, would somebody like to second? Well, not that Councillor Gill. Would you like to speak to the item, Tom? Does anyone wish to debate the item? Or have questions? All right, if not, then I'm not sure they don't keep it in like all five, but we'll not go with that.
No, but I'm glad no one asked me to pronounce
Alex's
last
name.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we're going to vote on the matter, please. All those in favour of the appointment, thank you. That is carried in So we're now going to go to item 12.3. This is the other payment of CFS site. There's a list proposal for this. We have a conflict of interest for a number of people here. I've got Councillors Grant, Councillors Chira, Councillors Purdy. So it's not with them.
Yes, I believe I have it. Material conflict of interest in that I am presiding member of the Urban CFS today. I will leave the chamber.
All right, thank you. Councillor Chita.
So material conflict of interest. With your permission, Mayor, do you mind if I just give a little bit of detail to know the CFS conflict of the interest conversation has come up many times and just give some clarity we have received from governments in relation to this.
All right, let me ask for you. What is the query that you've done?
I just wanted to give some in-depth detail to the conflict of interest so people are aware and going from a CFS perspective, because it has entered this chamber many times with some confusion.
So what was the current law on some clubs of
things?
Go ahead and prompt. Is there a particular law that would be of interest in this?
Yeah, so governments provide some advice on these. So I'll give you some of the summary. So as a member of a CFS brigade, you're a member of South Australian Country Fire Service. And under section 75A(3) of the Local Government Act, it says a member of the council who is a member, officer, or employee of an agency or instrumentality will be regarded as having a conflict of interest in a matter before the council if the matter directly concerns that agency or instrumentality, but otherwise will be regarded as having interest in the matter by virtue of being a member of certain political agency of the agency or instrumentality. And within that, it is then assumed that we would have a general volunteer conflict of interest. So just wanted to be going to the detail of those matters to which I see this one as, that pertains specifically to the South Australian Country Fire Service. And I myself and the other eight members who have material and the general conflict of interest for each of us. So I would be in the chamber.
All right, thank you. Is that our third person?
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, similarly, as a member of the CFS, which could experience a benefit or suffer a loss depending on the outcome of this, I have a material conflict of interest and will leave the room.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wants to come to mind at all or go away to leave? Councillor Brown, and then I think well, so I'm now going to ask Mr. Waters, is there anything that you needed to add or sign on in this report that you'll be on top?
No, there's not, Your Worship.
Okay, does anyone have any questions? Thank you, Councillor Chandler.
Yes, thank you, through you, Mayor. I have a question, and I'm sorry I didn't ask this in advance, but under point four, it talks about substantive community objections. I'm just interested in what would be meant by substantive and what level of objection would trigger that.
Sorry, which one are you looking at?
4.9.
4.9.
And B.
4.9. 4.9.
So what we really ask for is some sort of photo rescue.
Yeah, it's not outstanding or substantive.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to clarify, like, you know, does it include...
Do you want to go?
Yeah.
So we're going to... Mr. Waters report, so I think it's best place to interpret it.
Thank you, Your Worship. The term substantive is really just to assist us in, I guess, eliminating people who may not actually have a... and I know this child, sufficient interest in the matter. And so, for instance, if you have someone from Darwin who thinks all councillors shouldn't be leasing sites to CFS for free, for instance, we would say that's not a substantive objection. Whereas if someone who lives across the road said, I have a strong objection to this, and it might be because, I don't know, the CFS activities might impede their peace and quiet, or someone who wants to rekindle the tennis club, for instance, we would consider that to be a substantive objection and we'll bring that back to the chamber for consideration.
All right, thank you. So thank you, Mr. Morton, but also just to highlight, as Ms. Gillis said, the third line down here where we have actually put in for amount of £1 and $1 per year if the monthly item, £3, but in this case, there's a dollar. So if you're just aware that's an addition to that. So not having good objections on it. Let's just put in. Okay, thank you. All right, so I think we're just now looking for a minute. Thank you. Councillor Gellin, the mover, would you like to speak to them? Now I think Councillor Parker, we can say we will have possibly, which might change our mind, if anyone Councillor Gellin says. Councillor Gellin.
I'd like to move the resolution as the agenda. Because under one of my favourite things, actually, we need consultation. So, please support it.
All right, thank you. Now, all right, thank you. So I'm going to pass over to Councillor Clark. Did you still want a second?
Yes,
okay. All right, is anybody wanting to debate the item? Nobody wanting to debate the item? So, okay, we'll go back to Councillor Gill.
No, I need it.
So we're going to now just go to the vote. Thank you. All those in favour? So that's carried. Is that now? We've got taken it down slides, so now we can sort of back in, so we'll go on to item 12.4, that's the native draft native veg protection and conservation policy. So this is now, I just want to double check this is all business. I'm just hang on a second, I'll just find out our administration, who's the author of the report that they sent. Okay, David, is there anything with board of problems? Is there anything you want to add or highlight?
Eric Smith, the author of this policy, has taken a little bit of license. I should come back and have a credit, especially its documents.
Where will allow you to do that?
Well, I will just add, because it was a good question asked earlier by one of the council members about referring back to the council's resolution that led to this coming before you tonight, and which came off the back of some perhaps excessive clearance and unlawful clearance on private property. And the question was, this policy is great, it addresses what we're doing on our land, but what about council's role in addressing excessive or unlawful clearance of native vegetation on private property? There is an answer to that, I'm happy to circulate to you. But in consultation with the CEO today, we felt that we may bring a report back in the next month or so, just to tie off that aspect of the previous council resolution, just to outline to the chamber what the council's role, or what role council can play, from either action or indeed an advocacy or even main dogging type perspective. So we'll come back to using that in due course.
All right, thank you very much. We are looking for a move, and I think that was Councillor Daniel, who showed that he was interested in doing that item.
Yes, please, Mayor. This has been a lot of work, and I'm really quite excited by it because we have a big focus with the natural environment here at Adelaide Hills Council, and it provides another layer or another lens to it, I guess what I feel is a holistic approach to addressing the removal of remnant vegetation and ensuring we maximise biodiversity as much as possible. It's as much about prevention than it is remediation. So ultimately what I hope this policy achieves, noting it is only going out to consultation, is around making the community aware that there are consequences for illegally having a negative impact clearance of land, and that, you know, whilst we as a humble little council, don't have a lot of ability to influence some aspects of dealing with biodiversity, this is something that we can do. From my perspective, I think it is a really high quality document. It's subjective. The impact assessment tool that we were taken through in the workshop recently, I was really impressed by it because it weighs and contemplates all of those different facets which feed into, I guess, the severity of what might be this issue. And again, I go back to that holistic approach, and I think as a council, we're starting to do that well. You know, if we think of how we're trying to protect the environment, it's through heritage agreements, the blue marker sites, as the tree strategy we're in the process of developing. We're going to be putting together a new biodiversity strategy. We've got this policy, which hopefully after going out to consultation will be endorsed, perhaps with some refinements. And I guess going, thinking of the consultation process, it's really important that I feel we engage with people who may inadvertently actually do the wrong thing. So whether it's developers, builders, people who are looking at expanding their houses or whatever it might be, that they're really mindful of that, because we've given some great examples, not great, that's a bad word, some really bad examples of how people can inadvertently have a negative impact. So from my perspective, I think this is just another aspect of how we can do the right thing and try to play our part in protecting what's here. And, you know, I always remember Professor Chris Daniels, who is, quite well known in the environmental space, always talking about the importance of fragmentation and creating corridors. So it could be just that little bit of land that sits between, you know, two titles that is protected, and if we make sure that's protected, we can allow native fauna to move around in the hills and continue to be as healthy as possible.
Thank you. So we're looking for a second.
I'd like to second that.
First of all, would you like to speak?
Not at this stage.
Anybody else like to debate when I have a number one? Looking at it, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. I agree with Councillor Daniel. This is an excellent policy. After the workshop, everyone was invited to comment on the document. I'm sure you all did. No, I'm just kidding. I know. No one did. But I did. And I had some extensive discussions with Renee Eden on it, because it's so valuable. And it just, I think it's the sort of document needed to ensure consistency across the council. Often you see decisions done in some areas, for example, granting a lease for someone to graze roadside vegetation without it going through to have its biodiversity values checked to see whether that's a retrograde step or whether that's against what we're doing in native vegetation protection and other areas. And there's so many ways that this will hopefully just ensure consistency of decision making across the whole council. We've got something like 400 parcels of community land and 2,000 kilometres with roadside vegetation. So there's a lot to manage. And this is a really good first step in ensuring consistency in management of those. The only other comment I'd make was what a question I had was why the matrix for assessing damage, or sorry, I can't think of the name of it, but why that assessment tool wasn't included in this policy. And I think the reason for that was to allow flexibility as that will be developed over time in response to new scenarios, of course, as they can't envisage every scenario. So, it makes sense to leave that out, and that will be changed administratively as required. The policies setting the criteria that matrix is going to be driven by, and I'm happy that the policy will do that. So I recommend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Grant. Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, well then we'll go back to the mover. Thank you, Councillor Bernard. If you want to write any time. Is it not soon? You don't want to sign.
No, no.
Denying you the mover. That's fine.
No, okay.
Okay, so you have, you don't need a run remise. So we go straight through to the vote, please. All those in favour, please. All right, thank you. That's carried in that. All right, thank you, Councillor, for the agenda item 13 on our agenda. We don't have any information items this evening. We do have a couple of items of correspondence. Can we not move to two items to them? Well, yeah. Okay, maybe we'll do this after. So let's do this. So the first item is the Lions Club of Torrens Valley Incorporated sends a letter with regard to Australia Day celebrations. Can we move and look we?
Yeah, I'm carrying a general conflict of interest in that letter. And I am a member of the Torrens Valley Lions Club. I have to bring an unbiased view. The chamber for the decision, which is no complaint.
That's okay. Sorry, we didn't have it down in my on the actual agenda. All right, thank you, Councillor Hilmer, for doing that. Now, so, but you're going to stay in vote, yes? All right, so we are looking for a mover. Thank you, Councillor Gill. We're looking for Jordan Street, the island.
Yeah.
Looking for a seconder just to note this item has been received. Thank you, Councillor Chiba. Anybody wanting to discuss the item? We'll have clearance. We had a pretty good discussion earlier on. Right, thank you. So I'm going to go straight to the vote on that. I don't think we have a lot of reply. So one of those, unless somebody should fill you in. Okay, well, I think we've got that carried in that respect. Thank you very much. All right, the other item to note is there's a letter of response to myself on the Excellency, Ellen Watts, that is in Double South Australia. This was a letter sent to her with regard to her mother who had recently passed away. It was a letter of condolence. So, thank you. So, Councillor Hammond, is there a seconder, please? Again, Councillor Chita, okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions or debate? If we'll just go straight to the vote, please. Well, thank you for that. Yes, thank you. All right, this falls now on the questions for our notice, item 15. Now, I've got Councillor Pascoe, you have some questions. Do you want to say what the question is? Yeah, can you do them one by one, please?
Yes, thank you. And through you, Mayor, I just want to declare a general conflict of interest because any questions will be concerning the area of benefit and also the boundary change. So, the first is around the boundary change committee. At a recent meeting with Moriarty Residents Association and the Working Group of Woodford Residents Association, they asked if I could ask at what point will the Boundary Change Committee be holding meetings at the Summer Community Centre and at what stage will they be able to present to the committee? I had noted that in the three meetings that have occurred that the community has not been invited to speak at the committee.
Okay, they might not be invited to speak, but they are available to attend.
Sure. Yes, but they're asking if they can speak at the committee.
All right. So in order to make that happen, Chair, what would you do that? Would you like them to send you a letter and how can you answer that question?
If any member of the public wish to speak at the committee, the committee will facilitate that.
And also, I think that's too hard.
And will it be facilitated at Stirling or the Summer Community Centre? There's a difference of a 10-minute drive on the community to 25-minute drive.
But we're going to need a number of the, yes, of that community. Yeah.
It depends on whether the committee is, where the committee will meet will depend on whether or not the agenda is confidential or not. It makes no sense to meet at, for the committee to meet at Norton Summit. When we have a full agenda that consists of confidential items, if we don't have any confidential matters, there's no reason why we can't meet at the Summit Community Centre, and members of the committee could speak.
So that's a point of clarification. And the community is limited to how they can speak because if it's confidential, then they're not really invited in. It could be held at the summit so that they could speak to the committee and then the committee could go in confidence. It could work that way.
It could work that way, yes.
Thank you. So the answer to your first question then was the members of the public from that area can speak at that committee. Okay. And I would like to think that there is a question of perception as well about being held up. Okay, sorry, you have a second question?
Yeah, that was your answer. Yes, it was concerning the community forum on the 30th of April that was held at the Summer Community Centre. We have received documentation or a report summary, and in it said council will give consideration to all inputs with a particular focus on the priority areas identified, and council will subsequently communicate which activities they are able to focus on immediately and which ideas will be considered in council's strategic plan for the future. My question is what is the status to the consideration of inputs, and when will council communicate to the community? What are the immediate focuses and what will be delayed?
Well, thank you. I did raise this afternoon and we did have a short discussion. Can I pass over to Ms. Charlton? Do you want to add anything on that? I thought one of the CEO.
No, through you, Mayor. I'd love to take that advice. Thank you. I thought somebody and saw it earlier on that it had been replied to. It's not yet, haven't been so far.
The discussion we, sorry, through you, Your Worship, the discussion we had was around the report following the meeting with Lauren and considering that being made public on our website on the engagement site, that the supplementary quotes around the priority items needs to be some more consideration to what it's
possible. So, if you ask for a time frame when we take into consideration, what would be the time frame of getting a response back to the community?
And end of August, Your Worship?
Yeah, through the mayor, 14 days.
We'll take on 14 days, take to the end of August, okay?
Thank you. Can I just ask one final
question? Yes, the third one, can you go to the third?
Yes, it was on the 26th of April. The Chamberlain passed a motion to investigate a study, a safety audit and footpath study of Heather Avenue, Woodford. Can the Chamber please have an update on the status of that study?
Fine, so we've answered the third order, isn't it, earlier? We have a short answer. Do you want to give that?
Thank you, through Your Worship. There has been a bit of work done on that. The status of the study, I'll have to come back to the members in detail on that, but our assessment of the warrant, I guess, for a footpath on Heather Avenue is that it's not the highest priority council has, and we tentatively flagged it as a year three project if you consider the current financial year as year one. So that will be 2 years from now. Obviously, that will need to be subject to council's consideration amongst other new footpath asset priorities.
Thank you. All right, thank you. So we can now move on to 17, which are our reports. Is there anyone who wants to highlight anything in particular about what we've been doing over the last 2 weeks?
Oh, Madam Mayor, could I ask a question about that, please?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, thank you. And this is for Ms. Charlton. I'm very pleased for the question. On fabric, do we have an update, please, with perhaps a hard opening date? I believe the handover of the key was late this month and opening in spring, which is quite a big period. And also, when I looked on our website to see if there's anything on that, this is an aside, the latest post is dated 21st of October 2022. So I think it'd be wonderful to... I know there's more recent ones on the Facebook page, but on our website itself. But anyway, any update would be appreciated. Thank you.
Do you know anything on that you're able to announce?
Yes, through Your Worship, and David, I'm convenient because I'm assuming there's thunder announcing this, but... we are getting the keys tomorrow for handover of parts of the site, with the other parts of the site staged in the coming weeks. And a tentative opening date is Friday, the 20th of September. Although I just emphasise the tentative there, as we just now that we've got handover to the site, we just need to map out the final stages of bump in and everything that we need to do at our end. In relation to the communication marketing, we do now that we've got some dates, have more certainty around the communication to the community. I know there's a plan that the team are working on to do some videos to promote the opening in the coming weeks.
Well, I think we've got a fairly fortunate answer there with that. So we will now, anybody else, before I move on to Councillor Chiller, Councillor Hurley.
I'm sorry, I didn't get it. I attended the audit committee meeting of the Board of Flood Management Authority. Actually, with that last Monday, August 6th, certified the accounts for the year and the annual report, which will be going for this week and coming with the council by the end of August for incorporation into the council's annual reporting system.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Well, we're going to go on to 1791. So, Councillor Chiller, make sure that it sounds like the score is there. Councillor Chiller with the camera. Tell us what happened.
I just realised that my thoughts are not in the agenda. So, people.
Yeah,
I skipped over trying to read it because I thought I know what I wrote.
We've read it.
Yeah. Just keep that in mind. Well, I guess, yeah, you know, I was sorry being not prepared to speak to it. There was Yeah, it was certainly an, I guess, next step in development for myself. And I think going a second time, getting some real insights to A, my growth and development, seeing how the government works, but also developing some of the political relationships. I think I do like the independence of the council, but are fully aware that a lot of legislation that governs what we can and can't do, or where our funding comes from, is outside of ourselves. And so understanding the levers and opportunities available there is great. I was fortunate enough to play the connectivity role for the attendees, but myself, CEO and Councillor Pascali, which was great. I think some of the emerging technology options, especially, and we had some bright eyes talking around trucks last week, looking at carbon management plan and some of those that are coming to light. So I've got things, got questions, more than happy to be bombarded with them.
Right, so anyone have any questions for Councillor Chidden? Well, I hope you learned a lot, thank you for joining and being part of your learning curve, and I hope it was well received and that you did it quite well. I know that both yourself and Dr. Pascali did do a great deal of things during that visit. Thank you. All right, so is there anyone from an external organisation that we would like to report? Anyone who's done anything that way? All right, so we're going on to 13.3, which is now the CEO. CEO, do you want to give us a little update of what's happening in your world?
Thank you, through the Mayor. Just a very short update. I've been focusing on the operations of the council, all staff meeting about a week or so ago, unpacking some of the feedback that we've received from that. As you'd appreciate, given the opportunity at that event to roll out our values program. That was well received. That's open at the moment around feedback. And what we're trying to do is establish a champions group to forge those values moving forward. Yes, the survey is open. We're hoping to get most of our 240 staff to submit what they think our new value should be and hopefully put up their hands around being champions. But this will also come to the Chamber at our next meeting, and we'll be rolling out a very similar program values program with elected members, and I'll be seeking a champion from the elected members to work with staff on the new values for this organisation. A little bit of an insight around recruitment. We've been progressing quite well for the manager of people and culture. There have been meetings even up to today. We've got some couple of great candidates, and we'll be pleased to report that to you over the coming weeks on the successful placement of that role. That's all. I'm happy to take on any questions.
I just had a question, CEO. When was your all staff meeting, did you say?
That was Thursday last week, I think. Yeah. Okay.
All right, thank you. Anyone got any questions for the CEO? All right, if not, thank you very much, CEO. So we go on to item 18, which is reports of committees. You can see 1, 2, 3, and 4. None of the committees met. So we're now going to go down to item 19, confidential item. There's just one item, and I intend to actually go straight into it unless people wanted a break.
Get it done.
Some people have to go to vote into this.
Yeah, get it done.
Okay. So we know that have to move into confidence. She knows she is over. She knows she is. All right. Okay. So.
And I'll stop it around.
Move it, please, for only a foot. Councillor Chidden and Councillor Pascali, and now they're all pleading the vote. Please, all those in favour, name. All right,
Thank you.